welcome, everyone. If you're new, I'm Mick. I'm the team leader. That's our vision for next year. Come and join us and grow. And our aim is that we as a church family, as individuals, would grow in quality, that is the depth of our faith and the richness of our love for Christ. Would we all like that? I think we would, wouldn't we? We'd all love to go deeper into our faith in Jesus. But also we grow in quantity, that as we do this, people would start to join us, and that the size of this church family would increase. We'd have more people joining the great adventure, which is the adventure of Christian faith. So that's our aim next year. More details on that a little later in this talk. So what we're going to do now, we've been looking at Acts of the Apostles over the past few weeks, how the early church grew and what we could learn from the early church. And remember, last week we looked at how it all began in Acts chapter 1. And so we're going to be looking at this scripture in a few moments. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. So let's see what this scripture has to say, shall we? So he's writing to this church in Thessaloniki, which is a port, a large port in Greece. And he writes this from verse 4 in the message. Every time we think of you, this is him and his friends who are traveling around, who planted the church, we thank God for you. Day and night, you're in our prayers as we call to mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in following our Master Jesus Christ before God our Father. Come back to that right at the end. This is how he starts his letter to them. So, word of encouragement. And let me on this Vision Sunday, let me encourage all of us to be encouragers. The greatest thing you can do to someone is encourage them. Most of us are not encouragers in our younger days or children, and we lose the ability to encourage other people. A word here, a smile there, a kindness, because that's how the world goes around, and that's how the Christian gospel gets passed on, encouragement. It's clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but also has put his hand on you for something special. Do you believe that? I do. I believe God's put his hand on this church for something very, very special. Very, very special. And he loves this church. He loves all of his church. But he loves this church. No bigger, no better than anybody else. But he loves this church. And we need to remember that. We're loved by God. Not just as individuals, but as a church family. And he set us aside for something special. When the message we preach came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. And I've listened to many sermons over the years in many churches. And actually, a lot of it is just words. It doesn't have an effect at all. But something happened here. And this is what happened. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. I love that paraphrase in Eugene Peterson's The Message Bible. The Holy Spirit put steel into your convictions. It's got this sense of the church having some steel in it. You paid careful attention to the way we lived among you and determined to live that way yourselves. In imitating us, you imitated the Master. Although great trouble accompanied the word, that's a slight understatement, people were being killed and arrested, tortured, thrown out of their homes. Great trouble. You were able to take great joy from the Holy Spirit, taking the trouble with the joy with the trouble. One of the phrases we've used here many years, battles and blessings. Every day's got a battle, but every day's got a blessing. Fight the battle with Jesus, but at the same time, look for the blessing. It's there somewhere. That's why always, always smile at people you meet during the day, because you don't know what burdens they're carrying. Never lay another burden on someone else. Somebody said recently, all you ever talk about in this church is smiling at people a lot. Yeah, and I will do till the day I die. Because it's wonderful to receive a smile of someone and an encouragement because you've no idea what people are going through. And that smile might just be the thing that opens up their heart. Do you know that all over the provinces of both Macedonia and Achaia, or Rotherham and Doncaster, and all the north, believers look up to you. The word has gotten around. Your lives are echoing the Master's word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. Do you know? Well, you may not, but this church, I get emails on a pretty regular basis from people in the States and from all over the place thanking me and thanking this church for the ministry it has performed in their lives and in their churches. There are people in the United States who come here, ministers and people in mainland Europe, modeling what we've done here, missional communities, huddles, the way we do church. It's happening in Denmark, in Norway, in Sweden, in Finland, in Germany. It's happening in the States, on the West Coast, on the East Coast. It's happening. We reckon, last year we did a little survey, a little touch base. We think this church over the last 30 years has affected over 600,000 people, minimum. Your lives are echoing the Master's word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. You're part of that. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. Wouldn't it be good when people come up and say, "You're a Christian, aren't you? How do you know I'm not saying anything?" "Yeah, we just know you are. It's got out. Somebody said you go to church, you're a Christian. You smile a lot." You're the message. One of the best Eugene Peterson phrases of all time. You're the message. And that's the big idea, friends, for this morning. You are the message. I am the message. You are the message. We are the message too. Now, that's the wrong song, isn't it? We're the message. We as a church are the message of Jesus. So what does that mean for us? We have a purpose. That purpose comes to reality because we are the message. It doesn't happen, growth doesn't happen unless we engage with that growth. When I first became a Christian, Trish and I were in a little Sleepy Hollow Anglican church. I've said many times before, it was like going back in a time warp in the west end of Sheffield. And looking back, I was a new Christian, relatively new dad, I was desperate to grow in my faith. And all I could do, the sermons were 9 minutes long at a push. And so all I could do is buy books. Actually, at lunchtime, I worked in the city center. I would go down into the city center. At lunchtime, the hour I had, 45 minutes, I would nip up to CLC, the bookshop, and I would just browse and look at books and try and remember what they said, because I couldn't afford to buy all these books. Couldn't afford to buy them. Just got, you know, young family and, you know, all the pressures that people have, mortgages. I remember thinking, I've got to buy that book because it looks as though it's a fountain, a fount of information and knowledge. And so that's how we learned. We learned from others and we learned by reading ourselves. And I wish I'd had somebody like me teaching me the faith. Seriously. I wish I'd been part of a church like this, which is so rich in discipleship and teaching of the faith. And sometimes when we're in the middle of it, we forget that. But not this year. So you're the message. And actually, I just want to pick out, if I can, three things from this, from that scripture. The first thing is this. You imitated the Master. You imitated the Master. A great rememberable line here from a guy called John Mark Comer. He's a teaching pastor in a church in America. I'm showing some stuff to the staff recently from it. Great. I mean, I'll go everywhere and anywhere. I do loads of research because I want to learn. He's much younger than me, but he's way better than me. I want to learn from people who are better than me. And what he said was this. He said, if you want to experience the life of Jesus, then you have to live the lifestyle of Jesus. I'll say that again. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to live the lifestyle of Jesus. And again, in my experience, a lot of people want, I want more of Jesus. I want more of Jesus. I want to experience Jesus. I want to know, I want Jesus. But I don't want to live his lifestyle. Because these people in Thessaloniki imitated the master. They imitated his lifestyle. They looked at what he did, and they started to do the things pretty badly to start with, but they started to do the things that he started to do. Imitate the master. We need a model to follow, and I think next year, I'll come to the Grow Core project in a minute, we're going to learn and relearn how to do this, how to follow Jesus better. Some of us have been following Jesus for many, many years. Some of us have just started. Some of us have maybe sat here this morning thinking about it. And you know what? Sometimes when we've learned a way to follow Jesus, we need to relearn because we've done it not correctly. I play guitar very badly. And I remember when I was self-taught. And when I started to learn guitar, it's okay till you get to something called bar chords. Okay? And I started doing bar chords, and I did them in such a way that it was nearly the right sound. But then again, nobody listened that much because I played in church, and they weren't connoisseurs of music, especially in the little churches Trish and I were in. So I started playing, I was quite good, and generally at the front, I could blag it with my Ovation semi-shallow back guitar. Black front, looked really cool. And I generally get by leading worship. And then I had an experience. I went to theological college, which was another story for another day. But one of the things I did there, I started to hang out with really good musicians. And then I realized I wasn't. But even more than that, I realized I'd started to learn how to do bar chords, which sounded roughly okay until I played with somebody who did them correctly. And they, as always, they were very gracious because they were Christian guitarists, top guitarists. Generally speaking, unless they're Christians, don't hang out with top people who are kind of pagans because, musicians or anybody else who are top of their field, because generally they won't teach you because they just want to get on themselves. Christians are slightly different. They do want to help you. And actually, they would look at me as if to say, yeah, near. Let me show you. And then they'd move my fingers. And the pain was excruciating. And then they'd say, hold it there now. Just hold it. Release and hold. Release and hold. Release. And my wrist was going, ah! It was so painful. And they were saying, that's it, that's the bar chord, release and hold. Now start to strum, and that's it, release and hold, off and on, off and on, off and on. Okay, that's one, only 14 more to go. Now, what I realized was, I had to relearn how to play guitar. It's easier to go, oh, blow it, I'll just do what I did before, and hang out with people who weren't very good guitarists. If you want to kill giants, you're going to hang out with giant killers. If you want to get better, you're going to hang out with people better than you. Firstly, it's humbling. Very humbling. Because you have to say, I thought I was top dog and now I'm not. You have to say, I don't know how to do that. Could you show me? One of the issues in the church today I found is nobody wants, in leadership with clergy and others, nobody wants to learn. Everybody knows, yeah, that's how good they know, because the church is in terminal decline in certain areas. New things are coming up, new things are coming up. The old ways, I said last week, are going. So these people here imitated the master, and we will have to find ways and to relearn how we follow Jesus. So I want to challenge you in that and encourage you. The second thing that happened here with these guys is your lives are echoing the master's word, which is basically this. See me, see Jesus. Wow. I don't know how that makes you feel. See me, see Jesus. See Tom, see Jesus. See Alan, see Jesus. See Tim, see Jesus. See Liz, see Jesus. See Brian, see Jesus. See us as a church together, see Jesus. That's the challenge. That's the only way people see Jesus. Read this book and see Jesus. It doesn't work like that. People see Jesus in us, and that's what was happening here. Thirdly, the news of your faith in God is out. Because faith like this is contagious. It's absolutely contagious when this kind of stuff starts rolling. That's how this church grew from 3,000 to 170 million. It was this contagion. It was this divine virus that was spreading everywhere through the people. This is a good virus to spread. That's been the story of this church over 40 plus years. This church, the news of your faith in God is out there, St. Thomas's. As I said earlier, people from all over the world have come here to see this little Victorian preaching box. You know, if you had to plan for a world revival, you wouldn't start it here. It's not big enough, got some new chairs now, it looks cool. But you wouldn't, it's small. Absolutely squashed the balcony, chairs in the lounge, you know, 400-ish. I think I said several weeks ago when the American preacher John Wimber came here in 1985 when something really kicked off here in a church that holds 400, 450 max, and it's not quite 450, and there were nearly 800 in here. How did that work? They were sitting on window ledges, hanging off the balcony. It was all health and safety hadn't been invented then, so it was fine. People were sitting on people's shoulders and it was rammed. People stood. You know, we get 1,000 in at Crooks Carrolls. So it did work. But then they did ministry in the middle of that. Apparently, I wasn't here, but people were overcome with the Spirit. And actually, when people say, I was overcome with the Spirit and I hit the ground, they couldn't hit the ground because there were people around them. So people were just sinking slowly down to their knees. Apparently, I'm told. So there we go. But it's contagious. I was down at Philadelphia last night for the launch of the Hire 2, which was amazing. And Andy Hawthorne showed this fantastic picture of a school in South Wales where the Hire 2 is at the moment. And they finally got into this school after years of nobody was allowed in. The bands finally got in. The Christian church finally got in. And there was, the CU was two people, two students. And then he showed a picture on the screen. After the bands came in, showed a picture of the CU, 66 students who met at lunchtime. Imagine that happening in Tapton. Yes. In High Stores. Miracle. Notre Dame, All Saints, with our brother teachers down here. King Edward's. Silverdale, all these local schools and all schools. Imagine Christian unions of 40 and 50. It's contagious. And I'll tell you something, when the word gets around, what's happening at lunchtime? It's their Christian thing. Oh, those bands who came in, yeah. Oh, I'll go and try it out. It's contagious. It all starts. You imitate the master, your lives are echoing the master's word. The news of your faith is out. Wow. That's what's happening. And that was happening here. How's that going to happen with us? Just briefly, bringing it into land. You're the message. Remember that. You're the message. And we're going to do it through the Grow Project. I'll very quickly, this is what the Grow Project is. It's about people, it's about passion, and it's about purpose, and they all begin with P. Because they do. That's how it's spelled in English. Meet friends, community, people. We're about people. We're not about strategies. We're not about kind of, you know, stuff like that. We're about people. Discipleship is about people. It's about disciples. It's about people becoming the people they were made to be by the God who created them. That's what they all say. This is why I do this stuff. Because the people need to become the people that God has destined them to be. That's why we do all this work with teenagers. It's about meet friends, people, meet God, passion, getting a new passion for God. Do you want a new passion for Jesus? I do. I'm in my 60s now-ish. And when I get to 68, when people say, I'm not 68, when people say, how old are you now? I say, 60s. Early to mid-late 60s. Meet God, passion, and live life better, a purpose for your life. So the Grow Project is about people, it's about passion, it's about purpose. It's three terms starting next January. First term, middle term, end term is going to be next autumn, this time next year. There's going to be 18 to 20 modules, which basically is something for you to, you'll see it. I'll explain this in a minute. But it's a module where you've got information, you've got a video to watch, you've got discussion material for your midweek group, whether it's you have a mixed group or a families group, or the guys meet together and then the girls meet together the following week. I know groups meet in different ways, but it's some material to get stuck into. If I was a guy at the age that some of you are, I would love to get stuck into this material and argue the toss and get into it and bring friends along and say, what do you think about this? What do you think? And share this at the night of prayer. That I woke up early one morning and I was saying to the Lord, how do we get beyond this number? What's the next step when we do the Grow Project? And I felt the Lord saying, invite the whole city to dinner. I said, well, Trisha's going to have a Benny about that. Is there enough chicken in the whole of the city? I don't know. But basically, why don't we invite people? If you do dinner, do dinner. If you have supper, do supper. If you have tea, do tea. If you can only just invite people down to Costa for a sandwich, do that. In other words, invite people for some food, because that's how the early church did it. They just had food together and gossiped the gospel over the meal table. And why not say to them this? Our church is doing a project that we would grow, become more like what the person that we believe God has destined us to be. And here's a question. Look at the news. Look at what's happening in our world. Look at what's happening with our teenagers. Does the Christian faith have any answers? Question. Would you like to come around and have some food? We're going to ask you that. We're going to discuss that. Be open with people. And we'd like to share something out of our faith. And some might go, I like the food idea, I'm not sure about the faith. If they're your friends, I guarantee the majority go, yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, we know you're going to chew. Mind hearing about what you do. Let's get it out in the open. Let's get it on the table, literally speaking, with the dessert. Let's start getting it out there. And these modules will have material which will help us engage with our friends and our colleagues. So 18 to 20 modules, 2 years in the making, these. A lot of hard work's going into this. Midweek groups and online, you can get material online. And there's a launch date on Saturday the 17th and Wednesday the 21st. There is no childcare on the Saturday. That's why we're doing the Wednesday. So if you've got kids, just modulate. Alternate is the word I'm looking for. There we go. So that's how we're going to do it, the Grow Project. You're the message. And just to finish, and this is just to finish. Scripture to finish. This is what Paul said to these guys. Every time we think of you, we thank God for you. Your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in following our Master Jesus Christ. And I want to finish by saying this, that the words are really important. This is why Paul wrote so carefully. This word work, which I've put in bold, it actually means this. Your employment, your godly task. God has given each one of us a godly task. You can't leave it to the vicar. You can't get to the pearly gates one day and go, I'm with him, the vicar. And the God will go, you can't follow him, he's him. She. What about you? Well, I just thought I'd follow him in. You can't follow him in. Get to the back of the queue. We'll deal with you later. What did you do? I gave you an employment on earth, a godly task to do. your work of faith. That's why you had faith in me, because I then gave you something to do. What is it that God's called us to do? Now, as we engage with the Grow Project, we'll explore that, the kind of person I am, and what is this task God has given me to do? How can I put my skills and gifts to his use? So what is the godly task? Your labor of love, the word labor there in the original, this was written in the Greek, it means weariness to the point of exhaustion. And sometimes we go, oh, it's a labor of love. No, dear friends, the word doesn't mean that. It means I am so exhausted doing this work for God. I'm exhausted to the point of absolute, I'm done. Are you ready for that? That's why we're doing this project next year, that we would engage with this. And we will get weary doing this. I've told you before, I was asked numerous times by my friend to go to church, and I said, no, 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 no. If you ask me again, our friendship is finished. Stop it. And he went, okay. Do you want to go to church on Sunday night? And I could have got hold of me, and he said to me, this is far more important than our friendship, Mick. It's about your eternity. And I thought, wow, this means something to him. I better go and check it out. And he was weary in asking me. We will get weary. That's why Paul says, your patience of hope. And the word patience here means endurance. It means stick at it. Don't give up. When you get weary in doing this Christian stuff, and you will, I get weary constantly. I get so tired doing this work. I get tired leading this church. I love this church. I love this job. But I get weary. It's demanding. The amount of work I know that I do, I could be somewhere else doing a lot more and get paid a lot more. But this is the godly employment that Jesus has given me to do. And I'll do it to the best of my ability. What's he given you? When you get weary, remember, the Spirit of God will come on you and he will say, keep going, keep going. You see, if you've got small children, put your hands up if you've got small children. If you want them to have a faith, you have to work hard and it's wearisome. You have to teach them how to pray. You desperately just want to go upstairs, put them in the bed and say, go to sleep, and you go downstairs, watch TV, get a glass of wine. But you've got to get the book out and read them their storybook, the Bible. And you think, they'll not notice, I'll just turn three pages over. And they go, you've missed three pages, because they're taking notice. You have to teach them how to pray at night when they're in bed. You have to bring them to church on a Sunday, which is a miracle, trying to get them dressed. Why? Because this is the godly employment God has given you as Christian parents. If you want to see your friends come to faith, you have to keep asking them and inviting them for dinner and inviting them to Christmas services. Keep sticking at it. If there's somebody in your family who's just not made that commitment, keep praying. Don't give up. Keep praying. Don't give up. And challenge them sometimes. Are you a Christian or not? Well, I got a church with you. That's not what I asked you. You need to challenge. And it's, or if not, get one of your friends. If it's a guy or it's a girl, whichever one, and say, could you challenge my husband or my wife to see where they're at? Are they really following Jesus? It's sometimes easier with a friend rather than with a spouse. I understand that. The project next year is aiming to do this. I'm praying that 85 to 90% of all the adults in this church will sign up. And there's a sign-up sheet right here. You can sign up online. Thank you to Rebecca Carr, to Ethan Reeves, to Charlotte, and to Kate. You are the first four, and you will get an extra blessing in heaven because of that. You can sign up online. Over these next weeks, we've got this little launch thing coming up in a few weeks. You can sign up again. That's a taste of what it's going to look like. But come January, friends, we're going to start. We're going to go deeper into our faith. And we as a church are going to be stronger if we last the course as the Thessalonians did. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.